screen now. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Legendary Health webinar. I'm very excited. I'm very honored. Thank you very much for coming. I know that one of the most valuable gifts that you have for me is the gift of your time, so I really appreciate you taking the time to listen and spend some time with me here tonight, and I promise you that I will work incredibly hard to make this well worth your time. I'm very excited. This is always fun to talk about our health, much like the inevitable use system spends most of its time in psychology and mental software. There's other aspects of our holistic systems, our health, our spirituality, our emotions, all these great things that we want to take into account. And so, did I catch the first part?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a little confusion here because I thought I was started and Brian said I just started. So am I started or not started?
Yeah, you just can see your screen.
Do I need to restart?
No.
Okay. Well, hopefully you heard the introduction. If not, we'll play it again for you. We're happy you're here. This is fun, important stuff. Like all the things we do in the Inevitable Use System, I think you're going to get some good standby traditional thoughts and reinforcement, and we're going to give you the cutting edge look at new ways of looking at your health and solving some of the challenges that you might face and really helping to accelerate and evolve and escalate the health game for you and the loved ones and the people that you influence in your life. So let's start off with our introduction. First of all, so that you know who I am, my name is Bill Sumner. I am a neuropsychologist by profession. I am a business coach, life coach by trade. I spend a lot of time in cutting edge neuroscience tools that I've picked up in the last 20 years of being in my practice. I also have a background in corporate life. I did about 20 years in telecommunications, starting way back in the early 80s with MCI. Done a number of three-letter phone companies, so I'm always willing to talk some technology with you. And prior to that, I have military West Point service in my background, so you'll get a little bit of that as well. In fact, we're going to have a military tool in here tonight for you to ponder. So welcome to the call. Thank you for being here, and let's get started. Now, first of all, we don't really have a health system. We do, but we don't. What we focus on, for the most part, is sickness and in fixing sickness. We don't want sickness. And so when we look at, let's create some health for ourselves, the problem is we will not energize that. We will not pay as much attention to that. We'll accept our current health. And it's kind of like the frog in the boiling water. When it goes up a degree at a time, the frog never jumps out, even to the point of boiling to death. You know, if you put a frog in boiling water, it jumps out. So when you think about, well, what does that mean? Well, when you were 25, you had a certain health standard. And then when you're 30, it kind of slipped a little bit. And everybody says, oh, you gain a pound and slow down a step. And then there's 30s and 40s. And wherever you are coming to this webinar from, we have this psychology that says, I'll really focus on getting rid of sickness. And there's a lot in our healthcare system that will deal with sickness. For example, in my arena, as a professional in the mental health system, ponder this, the system will not reimburse you. Health insurance will not really pay for anything that promotes mental health. You need a mental disorder code to have that paid for and treated. So we're very good at removing what we don't want. Hint, hint, it's going to see that flow through a lot of your psychology. And we will do, for the most part, many of us, less for our health system. Now, when we look at these systems, these beliefs and who we are and why we are, primarily, these programs and software were unconsciously created and handed down. That term is called your family of origin. So some people came from good homes, bad homes, split homes, multiple homes, different homes at different times in your life. But that generic phrase from your family of origin is where the foundation stones were laid as to what you believe. Now, some of the things you still believe in, some of the things you've absolutely discarded and thrown out, you're never going to be like your family of origin. And some things you've modified. But what's interesting in the health world and our health beliefs, the vital importance that sentences like, hey, our family, man, we're great athletes. We love exercise. We work out a lot. We're all athletes. Those kids grow up believing they're athletes. But if you're grown up and your family hates exercise and we're clumsy and we don't do fine motor skills and we don't work out, that's going to lay in a foundation stone that either helps build you or becomes a challenge and an obstacle that you have to overcome. Maybe in your family of origin, health is number one, man. We focus on our health. We do healthy things. We go get massages. We do chiropractic services. We do alternative health. We're studying the latest in health trends versus a family that says, well, why do that? Everybody gets old. You know, oh, wait till tomorrow. Something new is going to be bad for you. So why change anything about my diet today? So when the government pushed margarine for years and we thought margarine was good, there's still people out there eating margarine. Because they haven't followed the research, because in their family of origin, what they were taught is like, oh, just wait till tomorrow, something else will be bad. So I've gone up in a boiling pot of water and my weight is, my health is, my blood pressure is, but it's the best that I can do. Versus, you know, we are following the latest in nutritional research. We're reading about GMOs. We're reading about, you know, the latest in blood pressure and interrelations between blood pressure and pancreatic and you know, support systems. We're studying that. We're not quick to jump, but we don't stay with old information either. That might be your family of origin. Now, today you can reinforce or change any of this based on your choices. And the real question is, do you, you know, can you control these choices, do something bit or different with it? And if you wanted to, can you redesign you? Can you develop new architectural skills? Can you really look at the blueprint of what you are, how you are, what you think, what you feel, what you believe about your health and your ability to impact your health? Oh, I can't lose weight, or I can never lose those last 5 pounds, or I'm going to do something bigger and better this year than I did from last year. Those all become statements, become drivers. And if you know the architect, then you have to build. And are you have the knowledge, and do you have the ability? Can you do that? Is your mental software now? Tonight, as like a lot of my seminars and webinars, we got a mix. We got some oldies, and welcome to return fans. I'm grateful and appreciative that you're here. We got some brand new people who never even heard of the Inevitable You, or maybe heard of it, don't worry later. This isn't going to go into some of the traditional mental software, Windows 61, those kinds of things. This is really health focused. So I want to start off with an oldie but goodie, but some of you really need to go back and think about this. There was an article written in the early part of this decade called Change or Die. If you don't have it, you'll find it up on this link. If it's not up after the call, it'll be up shortly after the call. The Change or Die article is about an 8 or 10 page article, and it said, when faced with certain death, and it studied 6,000 coronary bypass patients, you have to make, your doctor performed your bypass. Your doctor is a trusted medical authority. And he or she tells you, you must make a moderate change in one of three areas. You must. Ideally, it'd be all three, and ideally, it'd be more than moderate. But at a minimum, a moderate change in exercise, in stress management, in nutrition. And if you do not, within 2 years, the statistics say that 90% of you will be dead. You know, how many of you change? And when you think about it, you think, well, it's got to be a high number of people if they just have to make a moderate change. And it is death. We're not talking about losing a few pounds for a high school reunion or losing a few pounds because every 5 years we put on another 5 pounds. This is death. We jump to it, right? Yeah, no, not right. 90% will not make the changes. So this stuckness that a lot of you have, and wherever you are in the call, you might be a really top athlete for your age group and you're doing really well, but you're stuck on a plateau, whatever stuckness means. Or you're in a pattern where you can't get the weight, or you can't get the exercise pattern, or you keep trying to go to the gym and you don't go to the gym. This stuckness makes sense for many of you based on the following three things. Now, one doctor in the study didn't have a 10% success rate. His success rate was almost eightfold better. And he did three important things. Number one, he created massive support. You had to sign a contract that said you were going to attend a group meeting twice a week for an entire year. And he was constantly giving you support, information, kind of like the Inevitable U does. We have those programs too. Number two, he pushed for massive radical change. And that's a very important distinction that we're going to launch to in a moment, because I have a tool that I had to develop that's a lot of fun. If you've not heard my 15 Twinkie tool, we're going to cover that tonight because it's also helpful in nutrition and in health. And individual coaching, which is one of the original reasons why I had all my clients watch and read this article, because individual coaching will help do that little fine tuning. And we have great coaching programs here between Brian and myself and the membership site. You can get the coaching that suits your time, your budget, your outcomes. But let's talk about this massive radical change. Most of you, you look at all the traditional literature to this day, even traditional psychology still is missing this. You need to make incremental, managed change. And if you take baby steps and move along a success curve, do not go massive radical. Do not go cold turkey. Don't go giant, because that is harder. People think about it like, well, yeah, that makes sense to us. We should manage our change, manage our process. It's a no, no, and no. Let me tell you why. And it falls in the 15 Twinkie theory. Let's say you're eating 15 Twinkies. And it doesn't matter the time period. It could be a day, a week. It doesn't matter. You eat 15 Twinkies. And you're going to follow the traditional process, traditional management of. You're going to follow the way your doctor is telling you to do this. So in the first week, the first time period, you cut out one Twinkie. And when we look at the stress, when we look at, you know, the frustration, when we manage people in success-based psychology, traditional psychology, we talk to them, we measure them, we calibrate them. Most of them are focused on the one Twinkie they're not getting. They're not focused on the 14 delicious Twinkies they're eating. And we can assign a stress level to them. And so they're stressed out. And, oh man, I'm on my diet. I cut a Twinkie out. It's hard. Now, in the second week, in the second time period, they cut two out. And they're eating 13 Twinkies. Do you think they're focused on the 13 Twinkies? Or because there's now two out of the diet, do you think stress has doubled? You think it's tripled? Or do you think because now it's week two and it's getting really hard, man, it's serious, it becomes five times hard. And you're just dreaming about Twinkies, even though you're eating 13 of them. You're focused on the two you can't have. Because we're Americans, we're adults. We don't like to have things taken away from us. It's control. We don't like it. And so now we're stressed out five times. In week three, it's not five times. It's a hundredfold. We are hating this. And we don't even care about the 12 Twinkies that we're eating. Now in this third week, at the end of the third week, two things are going to happen. We're depressed. we're struggling. We got a party tonight. We're going to get on a scale and we're going to go, well, how well is this diet working for us? When you've cut one and then two and then three out and you're still eating 12 Twinkies, it's not working. It's very, very small outcome. And so now you're depressed on how hard this is. And you don't have success, which makes you doubly depressed. And now you're going to go to your party. And because fate, karma, pick your word, has an interesting way to mess with you, your friend is serving not only Twinkies, they're fried Twinkies. And there's this huge plate out on the counter. You're upset, you're depressed, you're not succeeding at this. You go face down in this platter of Twinkies, eat them all. Nobody in the rest of the party gets any. You even go back in the kitchen, you're getting them, you're eating them before they're going in the fryer. And you wake up the next morning and you go, you know what, this is too hard. I can't do this. It's too hard. You picture at the end of the cycle with no Twinkies, it's not 100 times high. It's an order of sun magnitude. I can't be this person. So you quit the diet, you don't do it. You go back to eating and you punish yourself. Probably going to eat 17 Twinkies now just to prove that you can and blah, blah, blah. You're unsuccessful. You did what your Western system told you to do. Now, if you follow the latest in neurosciences and it says massive, radical change, week one, zero Twinkies, you're going to cut out all 15 of those suckers. Now, when we look at the stress, when we look at the frustration, when we look at how this person is feeling, and we compare them to them, do you think you're 15 times more stressed in the first week because you lost all 15, or do you have relatively the same level of stress? And the answer is it's relatively the same. And in week two, you go to five times. It's awful. You're now 2 weeks without Twinkies. It's killing you. You're stressed out five times. You're struggling. Week three, it's 100 times as hard. But now something interesting is going to happen to you because you've got your party tonight to go to. And you get on the scale to see how well you're doing. You're upset. You're depressed. You're 100x negative feeling about this. But your results, where you didn't have any results when you were managing your change process, you're going to have really good results here. So you're going to actually feel pretty darn good. That's the first thing that differs. Now, this is even more important in this psychology of change. You go to your party, they still have the fried Twinkies. And the question I'd like you to ponder is, because you're on the zero Twinkie diet and you're actually having good success, do you believe you will eat one? And most people think, yeah, probably not. Ah, who are you fooling? Of course you're going to eat one. You go, oh, I can have one. And the first bite, because you haven't had Twinkies for 3 weeks, do you think that that's going to be a terrible bite? Or do you think that's going to be a delicious, outrageous bite? And the answer is because your body's free of sugar, it's going to taste, the first bite's going to taste delicious to you. Second bite's going to taste delicious. But by the end of the Twinkie, you're on sugar overload. But let's say you force yourself, you have a second Twinkie. Maybe even force a third Twinkie down. By the third Twinkie, these things taste terrible because your body is on sugar overdose. And you only have three Twinkies and you rush home and you weigh yourself to find out the damage. And there's no damage by having three Twinkies that night, is there? And now you learn something that all thin people know, is that you can have one Twinkie and it's delicious. Two Twinkies, you don't need it, you're done, you're fine. And you can get to the end of this program. There is light at the end of the tunnel for you. So I want you to really, really ponder when you think about, oh, I'm going to go to the gym this way. Oh, I'm going to change my diet this way. I'm just going to cut a little of this. No, 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 no. In the system Dean Ornish built, in the system the inevitable you builds, it is massive, it is radical, it is designed exactly the way you want it, and now we're going to add more tools to it. The next tool we want to cover. What we do, we only do things for two reasons. We do them because we are avoiding pain. We don't want to hurt. That's the bulk of people's behaviors, is designed to avoid pain. On the other hand, when you're really successful, you know how to create pleasure for yourself. Now, let's understand the psychology of this too. Why are we so darn good at beating ourselves up and we're less good at rewarding and pleasuring ourselves? Well, it's in the cultural software. If you want to be depressed, if you want to be negative, you're going to have a whole bunch of people want to go to lunch with you and talk about how depressed they are and how hard their life is. But if you want to go to lunch and talk about how amazing you are and how extraordinary your life is, you have less people that want to chat about that. So when we look at the support system that we're building, you've got to build a massive support system that's going to support your change. Now, the second thing comes out of this family of origin. I want you to think about little Billy when he's playing. Now, all parents know that a child has a certain range of, you look at my sisters, you probably leave them alone for 5 minutes and they were fine. Little Billy, man, it was about 15 seconds and I was into something. So my mom knew, all moms know, all dads know when to check on a child. So if you look in at a child and they're behaving, you go, man, that's awesome. You go away. You look in on them again. They're doing well. You go away. You look in again. They're doing well. It's just, man, this is just an awesome day. This is a great morning. You go away. You look in on them the next time and they're causing problems. You're in yelling at them. Little Billy, stop that. You know you're not supposed to do that. You give them pain. Now, you've all heard the truism that bad publicity is better than no publicity at all. And while you might intellectually understand that, you really don't emotionally understand that, because you think, well, no, I don't want bad publicity. I'd rather fly under the radar. Yeah, again, that's not true, because we're now into studies. We know how and why people behave the way they do. So in this metaphor of when the child misbehaves, they get pain, and when they're behaving well, they get nothing. On the flip side, because now there's more time spent here, on the flip side, if they come to you and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, I want you, and you say, hey, just a moment, and they're good, and they go away, and they're good, and they go away, and finally, they go, no, I'm done with this pattern. I'm going to get act out, because having a bad, angry parent is far better than no parent at all. That's why these things get wired in. And when you want to change your health, what you have to do is, when the mom or dad walks in and sees little Billy and he's doing well, you do not walk away. You go in and give him pleasure. You high five him. You give him a big hug. Little Billy, you're awesome, man. Thanks for playing well. Then you go away. You go in the second time. Little Billy, rock star, way to go. The third time. The fourth time, he will misbehave. But the fourth time when you go in, he gets nothing. He gets stony silence. He gets no emotional return. And what you begin to do, even in the brain chemistry, is you are developing patterns where they get addicted to the positive chemicals, the dopamine, the serotonin levels when you're hugging and high-fiving, the neuropeptides when he feels great and he is pleasing you. So today, as you think about your health program, if you go to the gym, do you go, or go, well, the gym kind of felt good, but you're not really feeling it, and you're not really feeling it at the 10, and then if you miss the gym or you screw up on your diet, you beat yourself up. And counterintuitively, this is developing a very screwed up psychology, just like don't spill the milk is a screwed up psychology. Pour the milk carefully is different. When you give yourself, when you go to the gym and you come out and you give yourself massive rewards, and it doesn't have to be money. You don't have to go to Nordstrom's with a $500 gift card. It's just really sitting in the car for 30 seconds and just going, "Guy, rock. I'm awesome. I feel great. I love this. What a hero I am." And when you screw up and you miss something, stony silence, no interaction with your psychology. You'd go, "Now this can't be. This was not a good morning for me. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to crave positive. I'm going to crave great motion." And so in this world of pain and pleasure, to give yourself this energized positive, to feel great, to emotionalize it, and to get really, really creative on it, let me give you a hard example on what this might look like. Handful of years ago, I wanted to lose 20 pounds. Now, I went to 20 of my best friends and said, "Look, I want to bet you $20 that I can lose 20 pounds in 6 weeks. And here's what's going to happen. At the end of 6 weeks, if I succeed, I now have $400 because they all knew what was going on, and I'm going to throw a party for everybody, and we're going to celebrate my new body. And if I don't, I'm giving you 10-to-1 odds. I'm going to not have to pay you $20. I'm going to have to pay you $200. So I now had $4,000 at risk versus a $400 party I was going to throw for my friends. So I had massive pleasure waiting for me, if I could get my pen to work for me. And I had massive pain if I didn't. And how, and it 20 wasn't 200 in a day. It was reasonable, it was realistic, but think about how hard 20 pounds sometimes can be in 6 weeks. Which now leads us to one of the tools. I'm going to drop down because it makes sense to add this. When we're doing the I Have a Dream speech, I'm not going to give you the full tool. This is a 15-minute tool, and it's in other Inevitable You seminars. You can go find this on the same website, theinevitableyou.com/IHAD, I Have a Dream. In essence, what I talk about, and you'll see the slide down here, but the punchline is most people give themselves a speech that says, "I can't do this." And for those of you that can get into 10% and you're going to do these tools, dieting is still hard. But if you write an I Have a Dream speech that gives you goose pimples, that talks about, "I have a dream. My body is. I have a dream. Food is. I have a dream. Exercise is." It will also rewire and put into the software massive pleasure to do these things. Versus, even in the hard diet arena, people are in more pain, less pain equations a lot of the time, because they hate their diets versus loving the results and really giving themselves that I Have a Dream speech. And the last thing I always say about this tool is, you know, have you ever used it? Do you like it? And in the 15 minutes, man, when you hear my I Have a Dream about my body, my workouts, my food, it's like it gives you goose pimples. People go, "Oh no, it's awesome. It never has." No. We all do. We use the other version. We use the I Have a Nightmare. "I hate my diet. It's so hard. I hate going to the gym. It's so hard." And you don't give yourself goose pimples. You give yourself anxiety attacks. Beating yourself up. So we're going to work on changing that. Now, the next thing for tonight that we want to focus on is, again, there's legendary tools here in this system. Towards and Away is one of my biggest ones. It's the first one clients always watch. We have a lot of big tools at that level, a little lesser known, but equally powerful because it's a little bit later in sophistication of the program, is outside in versus inside out. Do you do things because you know what other people think, you know what will succeed, you know where this all fits, and you average yourself in, or you above average yourself in, and you're doing success achievements based on an outside in pattern, or when you're going inside out, you're marching to your own drummer. You're marching to your own beat. This is your song. This is who you are. This is who you want to be. And it's not based on what other people say. It's based on your song, your music, your health, that little four-year-old you. And when you do things outside in, what this allows you to do is it really gives you the psychology and understanding between discipline versus self-discipline. And quite frankly, this is one I unfortunately know far too well. In a discipline system, I'm not above average. I'm not extraordinary. I'm freaking epic. That's why I could go into elite military. That's why I could go into the Army Rangers. That's why I can create challenges and achievements and go get them. But my self-discipline, nobody to meet at the gym. Oh, I've always struggled with this. That's my Windows 61 software. Windows 2014, Windows 2020 loves to go to the gym. But if an old song on the radio comes on in the morning and knocks me back into my old psychology, I start having a debate with myself whether I want to go to the gym. But if I have set up a program where I have a buddy, and in the military we called these men and these women Ranger buddies, that we were accountable to them. And even, and I told you, you'd get a military tool. Most people think that why would a soldier think about Saving Private Ryan? It's very realistic. It's one of two realistic war movies I recommend. They're on the beach and you think about why. Why would anyone leave that foxhole and pop their head up knowing certain death awaits them? Most people think, if you've not done this before or been around this type of psychology, people think you do it for mom, for apple pie, for your country. Yeah, no, that's not why you do it. The military has a singular brilliance at removing your identity, if you will, and it becomes all about the buddy. The reason why you get out of that foxhole, you're already dead. And you already got the letter written home. You don't want to die, but you're going to do it because you signed up to do it. And you're man up to it. But the way your buddy gets home is because you've been trained to come out of that foxhole. So when we look at changing our health at epic levels, we want to build a great buddy system. And when you get to the end of tonight, I mean, it's not going to be long. I'm going to give you a call to action around what's the next step. I want you to ponder the buddies that you have in your life who are really supporting you at that massive Dean Ornish level, who are really there with you when you're battling Twinkies and an early alarm clock and all the things that are the real data points, but hopefully now you're starting to see is not the real software. Now, the next thing that I want to cover, because we talked about this in our literature, we're going to say, you having a hard time breaking those bad habits? Well, we're going to help you. Well, here's why most people have a hard time breaking bad habits. Because they try to break a bad habit. You cannot break a bad habit. If you came to this call wanting to break a bad habit, I got bad news for you. You can't break a bad habit. But here's what you can do. You can start a new habit. So, look at some of these fun little examples. You ever had this moment where you can't get that stupid little song, a little advertising jingle out of your head? And you even program, think how dumb this is. I can't get this song out of my head. I don't have the physical capability to do it. So your brain was like, well, wait a second. If you gave me one of the tools to start a new song, if you hum something, anything, start humming Happy Birthday. The jingle is gone. Breaking bad habits is awesomely easy when you start new habits. And make it fun. Make it easy for yourself. I do a killer, amazing 1 hour stop smoking. One of the biggest problems with most smokers is when they come in to see me, I go, okay, what do you want? I want to quit smoking. Okay, great. Write it down. What do you want? I want to quit smoking. I already wrote that down. What do you want? I want to quit smoking. It takes them a while to understand that quitting smoking is not something they want. They want to have a healthy lifestyle. They want pink lungs. When they get this, they might say, I want to be smoke-free. No, smoke-free still in the psychology of smoke. There is no non-smoker out there. I trust me on this one. That calls themselves a non-smoker. You have to force them. Have you ever smoked? No. Would you consider yourself a non-smoker? Yeah. So you're a non-smoker? Yeah. But other than forcing the frame, when did they go around waking up in the morning going like, oh, this is awesome. I'm a non-smoker. People don't think in the negative frame. You can't stop a bad habit. So in the smoking, when I say, well, what's good about smoking? And they're like, nothing. I'm like, are you kidding me? You get to get up every hour. People who don't smoke are chained to their cubicle for 5 straight hours. You get up every hour. You go socialize with your buddies. You're out there breathing the fresh air. In fact, you're polluting it with cigarette smoke is immaterial. It's still fresh air out there. You get to do something with your fingers. You get to do something with oral gratification. There's 15 great things. So you have to build habits that replace the old habits with that are more powerful, equal, better, greater intensity. And you still get up and take a 1 hour break, but you go to the other side of the building. You don't go to Smoker's Alley. You get your 5 best friends to go out with you. You talk about, hey, how was your kid's soccer game yesterday? You go socialize for 5 minutes. You yawn, you stretch, you breathe the fresh air. That's when you can take a toothpick out and pretend to smoke it. When you put it all together, that's when these things get epic. And the last one in this, you can't break a habit. Again, this isn't a longer tool under don't spill the milk. Pour the milk carefully. Creates different levels of success in 4-year-olds. I had a client years ago said, hey, my husband saw my daughter trying to stick a knife in the socket and he wasn't saying anything. I screamed at my daughter, stop. I grabbed the knife. I looked at my husband. What are you thinking? He said, I couldn't find a way to say pour the milk carefully to not, where do you put the knife? And in that heated moment. So after it's all said and done, you get to yell and say, don't do it. But at a greater or equal intensity, you got to tell that little girl where a butter knife does go. There's 3 places for it. It goes in a drawer. It goes in a dishwasher. It goes on the table. Let's put it these 3 places. Let's have fun. Let's put massive fun pleasure on what to do with a knife. What parent goes back and does that? That's why you don't have some of these pleasure software, pleasure psychology wired. When you develop your legendary health program, these are some of the things that you're going to do. Now, one of the things that I told you was that I was going to give you some sleep help, because I think that one of the things that happens for so many people, they're just tired. They're just exhausted. And we go, 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 and we caffeinate. And we put carbohydrates, simple carbs in our system, because simple carbs are like lighter fluid. They just shoot through our system. And we get an energy boost with a muffin, with a Starbucks Frappuccino. Lighter fluid burns. Then we go back and put more caffeine and so we're always constantly tired and exhausted. Well, the question that you got to ask yourself when you go to bed at night and you're tired and exhausted is, are you victorious? And are you sleeping the exhausted sleep of a champion, of a king, of a queen, of an epic legendary person? Because the reality is, you're going to be more tired, but it doesn't feel like tired. It feels like greatness. You get tired on vacation sometimes. You sleep in, but if you're getting up playing rounds of golf or going out on a fishing boat or going to Disney World every day, you still get up, but because you're having fun, it's that same amount of sleep. It's not as tiring, and you're not even doing as much caffeine and junk for most of you. And so, oh, my battery. Stand by. So when you ponder what this looks like and how you do this, you have to, and again, all these tools that we're doing tonight kind of wrap this tight spiral vortex of success around you. The next thing that you need to know, and again, I kind of laughed, and when a lot of times when you hear me talking about people, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about old me. I'm talking about my family. You know, my family of we're not athletes, or just wait for the next study to come out. Some other food is going to change. Oh, Bill, you just wait. Margarine's going to be good for you. Yeah, no, that's not true. But I was, I am, I have always studied being a champion. When I was a sophomore in high school in 1972, well, I put on a lot of weight the year before. I went from 155-pound defensive lineman, was 235, was very slow. I went to the state decathlon champion in 1972. And I said, Phil, help me run faster. And he put me on sprinting workouts. And I was doing things that everybody, all my football buddies, because you're supposed to bulk up and doing the flexibility, doing yoga in 1972 was stupid, right? I'm doing yoga. I'm doing flexibility. I'm not at the pool bulking up. I worked out for 2 hours, then I went to the pool. When you study health, when you study sleep, here's something very important that it baffles me that people don't know this. It's everywhere. We sleep in roughly 90-minute REM cycles. Now, what's awesome is you think about how iPods and Droids now have smart software. I mean, this has been out a year, two, maybe 3 years. I'm thinking, I don't need it because I already know my sleep cycles. I've already studied. I did it back in the day when it was pen and paper. And I kept track of a little tiny, how long did I sleep? And when I woke up, what did I feel like? So you know what I knew years ago? If I woke up on a 90-minute cycle, meaning I woke up at 4.5 hours, woke up at 6 hours, or I woke up at 7.5, or I woke up at 9 hours, whatever it was, I felt great. Anything on the other side, if I slept for 7 hours, I felt like crap. I was tired. If I slept for 6 hours and 20 minutes, I was more tired than if I slept for six, because I'd already started another REM cycle. So today, because I'm a master of my schedule, whenever I go to bed, I set my alarm for 6 hours and 20 minutes later, because it takes a few minutes for me to fall asleep. And I like chattering very lightly with my wife before I fall asleep. And I'm a little more, I'm about 91, 92 minutes. I sleep 6 hours and I wake up refreshed, rejuvenated, excited. Start looking at your sleep cycles. If you don't believe this, you want to study you, go to the iPod, go to the Droid store, get some of these. They can just sit on your nightstand. We know more about sleep. I also do subconscious commands at night. If you look at my calendar, I program generally around 2, sometimes 2:30, and then again around 4 because it's a 90-minute cycle. You look at my calendar today. They're already on for tomorrow. I've got appointments scheduled with my subconscious, and I've already told it what I want it to dream, what I want it to focus on, and what I want it to work out. And again, the people that look at me and go like, well, that's kind of smart. I never thought of that. Yeah, you haven't. But it's out there. We know how to do these things. We're smarter about our health. Sleep is very, very important. The last tool I've used, a Pazzizz, used to be a cigarette carton size little computer device. They used to be a couple $100. You can now get them. It's a $10 piece of software. It's on my smartphone. Very, very convenient. But what it does is it accelerates REM cycles, and it's about a 3-to-5 ratio to 1, meaning a 10-minute Pazzizz is like about a 30-minute nap. A 30-minute Pazzizz can be like an hour and a half. You hit a complete REM cycle. This is technology that is sitting there that's available to you. I don't make any money on this. I could, but I don't. Partly because I used to sell them when they were $200, but now that they're $10 loadable software, it's not worth selling them. But it's something that my whole family does. My daughter, who just got her RN, single mom, age 30, overnight oncology ward, CNA, now is an RN, just passed her NCLEX on September 16th. She's an RN now. She's got her entire floor. They all Pazzizz. Because when you take a nap and you know, this isn't rocket scientists, power napping. And then I hear from people, oh, I can't do that. Really? You can't. Or you won't, or you haven't, or you... Well, I get it. If you're on an assembly line, there are a small percentage of people, but the vast majority of you can. Or you can tell your boss, look, I'm going to take a 20-minute nap. Look at the best companies. They've got nap rooms. They got tents. They got pillows. The best, smartest companies. Take care of yourself. Learn more about your health. And just as a tiny plug, Alcat, I do sell these, so I always qualify that in Q-Links. Alcats are cutting-edge blood tests, far beyond your standard allergy tests. This actually measures about 5 different indices in your blood. You can buy the 50 food all the way up to 150, up to 300 molds, household chemicals. It's massive. And you get 4 blood vials. They go to Florida, and about 10 days later, you get a report. Severe allergies, mild, moderate, and green. Eat all you want. There's information out there, folks, for you to get real. I had 25 foods taken away from me in my first Alcat. And some of them, pepper. I lost pepper. I pepper the crap out of everything. I put pepper on ice cream if I could. Lost pepper. It makes a huge difference. The clients that I have that have done Alcats, Q-Links, improve neural frequency and neural volume. We can physically muscle test you in the office and show you some of this stuff. Get really smart on how you're doing this. Now, what's next? Now, I told you coming in, this is why you signed up. I said, do you want to eliminate your bad habits? And I said, no, you don't want to do that. Build new ones. Attach really intense, powerful pleasure to them. If you have any questions, if you want to write me tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now, and say, I was on your webinar, I tried to create some pleasure around this new habit, and it didn't work. Trust me, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've yet to run into a habit I can't out-pleasure. Write me, call me, let me know you need help. Setting a powerful vision for your health. Watch the 15-minute I Have a Dream speech. I actually make clients not only write these, I make them do it. And just like Martin Luther King, you have to give yourself goose pimples. If you don't have goose pimples, it's back to the drawing board. Because when you do the I Have a Nightmare, trust me, the stomach chemistry that you've got running rivals the serotonin, dopamine, neuropeptides, adrenaline that you have running when your goose pimples are out. So when you start replacing bad with new, again, don't break an old habit. Don't even worry about the I Have a Nightmare. Don't worry about controlling that. Install the new speech. Stick to the plan. It's got to be inside out. I would highly, highly, highly get a buddy. And again, more pleasure, more pleasure, more pleasure. Make this good. Don't make this Dredd had a great friend. He lost weight. He did a great job for a year. You know what he did? He ran on the dreadmill. Dreadmill? Why would you call it that? Because you know what where he was 3 years later? Yeah, back where he started. Run on the treadmill for love, for joy, for pleasure. Maximize your enemy. Ugh. Maximize your energy. How are you going to do that? Sleep like a baby. Sleep like a champion. And we're going to talk in a moment about food and nutrition and the fuel that you're putting in your body. You've already heard a little bit about this, but there's more. And then the specific tools to change was the last bullet item on our webinar form. I hope you feel like you've got some very specific. This wasn't rah-rah. This just wasn't generalized. These are very specific things you can do today to start changing. You'll get this webinar OneNote document when the video, because you're not seeing me live right now. You're seeing my screen. The video that we're going to upload, actually, there's a camera on me. You'll get to see me. So if you want to watch this again or get a friend to watch it, do that. Because we have a really awesome, deeper three-part series coming. Think well, eat well, and move well. Now, I'm going to give you the latest. I've given you an overview on all of them, but we're going to go deeper into thinking. We're going to deeper into nutrition. I'm going to give you cutting edge stuff that you don't know today. I promise you, people listen to me and go, no one ever told me that. It's out there. And we're going to give you cutting edge information on exercise. It's only $78, and it's going to be in this fourth quarter, in part because we like doing it this time of year, because it's going to lead you into not the holiday blasé, the phony fake 3 week uplift. I'm going to start my New Year's resolutions, go to the gym, buy the gym membership, and you're done in the third week of January. This is going to rewire your brain in ways you can't imagine. And the last thing, and I told you this earlier, this is the fun part. For the first 30 that sign up for this, not only are you going to be assigned a buddy, we're going to give you some bonus content on how you will use your buddy, you, each of you, and you're going to pick a challenge out, whatever that is. And you're going to receive that extra bonus content, and one of you is going to buddy with me because I'm committing to ride Deer Creek Canyon by my house. It's an 18-mile loop, climbs 2,000 feet. I'm going to do my 19th Ride the Rockies this year, and I want to do it better than I've ever done it. And I'm doing outside-in discipline because that makes me work better. I'm going to commit to one of my buddies. You don't have to climb it with me. You're going to commit to your own challenge, but I'm going to report into you every day, a little quick email, what's my plan. I've got 30 rides to complete, and was not happy to find out that they're predicting a harder winter. It would have been easy to do last winter. It's going to be harder to do this winter. But I'm going to have a buddy come out of this. So for the first 30 that sign out, man, you're in that. So go to the website. Brian, it is?
/legendaryhealth.
So I'm not going to spell it out. It's a couple other different, but spell out theinevitableyou.com/legendaryhealth. That landing page is up if you want to be one of the first 30 to sign in and get in some extra fun. And some of you could do a short term, run a 10K. Some of you can do something by Thanksgiving if you want. We'll match you. If somebody wants to do something a year long and climb a 14er next summer, we'll match you with somebody. We've got a lot of people in this awesome community. We have a lot of tools here. We have a lot of fun here. I hope you enjoyed the webinar tonight. Brian, are there any questions before I sign off? If you have any questions, in the chat box, in the question box, raise your hand. We can unmute your mic. You can talk to us directly. You can type a question to Brian. I'll answer any questions.
No questions.
Everybody, thank you. I hope this was an hour well spent. I'm rooting for you. And I want you to root for me too. 30 Deer Creeks by February 1st is doable. It's going to, and let me tell you, the most I've ever done in any previous year to this, same time frame, October 1, November 1, 3-5. I want my ride the Rockies in June to be epic. And I want your life, I want your health, I want what you want to be epic too. So I'll see you on the flip side. Have a great evening. Thank you very much for your time. Have a great night. Take care, everyone.